I'm sure almost every one of you at some point in your life has visited a grave. That's a pretty normal thing to do. And why do we do that? Why do we go to a grave and stand and look at a tombstone with an inscription of someone we knew and someone we loved in the past? There may be many reasons. We speak about paying our respects to someone, and that's very appropriate. Giving honor due, especially if you think of a parent or a grandparent, to show your love for them and honor for them. An important thing that goes with visiting someone's grave, I think, is remembering them. Keeping the memory of who you knew and loved fresh and alive, and we do that by visiting a grave. It's a very appropriate activity to do. In fact, the word for tomb in the reading from today, the way that the Greeks thought of it, has everything to do with memory, a memorial, you might call it, a place where you go to remember someone who has died. We remember Christ's death in a very different way than someone who does not have the hope of resurrection, though. So we go to Christ's tomb and we find a very different situation than the types of graves that you might visit in your everyday life. We hear the women went to the tomb, and they went for a very specific purpose. They went to take care of Jesus' body, but they did not find his body. Luke writes to us, and it's important for us to, if we take Scripture seriously, all the details that God has chosen to tell us are pretty important. They went on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Jesus was raised from the dead on that first day, which was Sunday, today. That's the reason that Christians for 2,000 years have customarily gathered together for worship, to commemorate and to remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. Yeah, we come to church for that reason on Sunday. Not because we have off of work, and that's convenient. It's the reverse. We have off of work on Sundays so often because we have to go to church, of course. Now, you might think, if you know anything about the Scriptures, you might think, why the first day of the week? Because there were, you know, it could have been any day of the week, I suppose. And in the Old Testament, we hear a different day of the week, the seventh day being held very high esteem, even from creation. God rested from his labor of creating the world on the seventh day, and he made that the holy day. So why on the first day then? I found an interesting comment from Augustine, who one of the church fathers, who pointed out that the first day of the week, really, you can think of it as the eighth day of creation. You see, because Christ's resurrection from the dead is so significant, even equally and maybe even more so significant than the creation of the world itself. We have to come to terms with this reality that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that resurrection ushers in a whole new world, a whole new creation. You can point to the historical examples that Christ's resurrection had an impact on so many people and so many nations and history. That's all very interesting to point out. But what's even more significant for you and for me is the fact that Christ, by his resurrection, has created a new life for us. He has made us a new creation. And Christ, by being raised from the dead on the first day, shows us that this is something new. The old has gone, the new has come. The women, they went to the tomb. They were carrying the spices they had prepared. They went to, not so much to pay respects in the way that we would, but really they had work to be done. They had not had a chance to do the customary preparations of a body that they would have wanted to do, to give honor to the body of their Lord Jesus. There's a few things that are important about that today. First of all, you see the example of their love for Jesus. And when you consider everything that they had expected from Jesus, this might be a little surprising. One could argue that their hopes had been dashed by Christ's death. They had pinned their hope that Jesus was the Messiah. It would seem outwardly that his death had undone their hope. That, and you could say that they would have been within their rights to be angry and upset and utterly disappointed. And yet they showed their love for Jesus by coming to him. I think that signifies that they did have on some level, though it was covered by grief and sorrow, they still had some faith that what Jesus had said was true, that he would rise from the dead. At the moment, they had forgotten. They would be reminded by the angels. There's a few other things that are important when we consider the truth of Jesus' resurrection from the dead in this passage. First of all, that this group of women could not possibly have stolen Jesus' body. That was one of the, you know, the answers to that the Jewish leaders had spread around. Oh, the disciples came and they stole his body. But this group of people could not do that for a few reasons. One, we hear in Matthew that they were concerned about that stone, that they could not really roll it away. They did not have the strength to do it. It's heavy. And they would need maybe like a whole team of strong men to come and help them. They didn't think they could do it. More than that, and maybe the women didn't know this, but Pilate had posted a guard around the tomb against the possibility of the disciples stealing it. And so these women could not overcome armed soldiers that were standing guard. They had no weapons. They were not, you know, fighters or anything like that. And that signifies that the resurrection was real. That's one of the important truths that we can read from Scripture today, that the disappearance of Jesus' body had nothing to do with the acts of human beings. This was an act of God. Another important truth about the women and then the disciples as well is that they truly believed and knew, they had seen it with their eyes, that Jesus was truly dead. They came with every expectation of finding a corpse, a body, a lifeless body of Jesus. They had the preparations made. There's no subterfuge or no trickery, as though Jesus did not truly die on the cross, but he passed out and they took him down and nursed him back to health and he returned. The very people closest to him had seen the truth of his death. And so they expected to be dealing with that body. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. There are some events that occurred before the women even came at all. Some amazing events that Matthew records for us. There was an earthquake, and angels appeared to those soldiers who were frightened out of their wits and seemed to have disappeared. They left the area, understandably. Before the women even arrived, all that had happened. Jesus had been raised from the dead. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is important as well. The body of Jesus is gone because he was raised in his body. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a nice story that maybe is inspiring or can maybe tell us, like, now we can be raised up in our spirits now, as though Jesus would raise in spirit only. It's important to point that out too, because the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead bodily, that's the center of our Christian faith. Our hope is not merely in some kind of spiritual, ethereal resurrection. It's a resurrection of the body, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he had truly died and truly been raised. They expected to find a tomb with a body in it. Again, I mentioned earlier that a tomb really signifies a memorial, a remembering. The women came to remember about Jesus, but they had forgotten. They needed to be reminded. They got a different memory than they expected, didn't they? the angels say to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again? Then they remembered his words. We should treat Christ's empty tomb in a very different way than if Christ had not been raised. People speak about people who have died in certain ways sometimes, like they'll always be with us in spirit, or he's living in your heart. People who are not Christian will comfort themselves with these types of words. But Christ was not just raised in our hearts. He was raised in the body. The tomb of Christ reminds us, it was empty, reminds us and makes it very clear that when you visit someone's tomb whom you loved, when you think about your own grave that you surely will be in and at some point in your after you die in this world, unless Jesus comes again before that happens, that your tomb too will be empty. So how do Christians think about tombs and graves? For a Christian, just as it was for Christ, the grave is just a temporary resting place. Jesus was in the grave for a little while. He rested on the Sabbath day, but not forever. If you think about going to someone's grave, that's how you should think of it. Remember them. Remember them not as though they would never be again. They did not think of, they would not be remembering Jesus. Wow, that was really great when Jesus was around. Too bad that can't happen again. Too bad we can't be with Jesus again because he died. No. They were reminded that all the things that Jesus had said were true, that Jesus would be with them in the flesh once again. That same hope is an important comfort for Christians who mourn the loss of their loved ones. You can remember them and know that what was once before, the person that you love, the people that have gone before you, they will be again. This is the sure and certain hope of a Christian, that we pin our hopes on Christ's resurrection from the dead as one who is the firstborn of all creation, the first fruits of this new world that we live in due to Christ's resurrection. The angels remind them of what Jesus had said, and it's so appropriate that angels make the first Easter proclamation. He is not here. He has been raised. Consider the fact that angels have appeared at so many significant points when Jesus was born. The angels were there to proclaim that message. And they proclaim it to people who you might not expect. They weren't the women who went to Jesus, like outwardly, earthly speaking, from the world's perspective, not really that important, pretty ordinary, and were, you know, not significant in any kind of outward sense. But God uses the humble things of this world to proclaim the great things that he has done so often. The women return to the apostles. You would expect that the apostles would hear it first, of course, but the women go and return to the apostles. And you see two different reactions about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. First, most of the apostles say, oh, they're just speaking nonsense. And the other reaction is Peter, who seems to indicate his belief. He goes and he's wondering about it, but the way that he's amazed and wondering, not so much doubtful, but positive. Yes, he hasn't seen Jesus yet, he will, but Peter, at least, seems to believe them, and he is going to be waiting to see Jesus. These are the two reactions that are really possible. The one reaction that you cannot have is that Jesus' resurrection is true, but, you know, it's not super important. And that's something that all Christians are tempted by when we go through our lives and we're, you know, distracted by the things of the world or overcome with grief and sorrow. Why did they even need a reminder? Shouldn't they have known? Shouldn't they have already heard it? Jesus certainly preached the same things a lot. You know, he probably repeated himself quite a few times, and he definitely recorded, it was recorded in the Gospels that he said the prophecy of his resurrection several times. Probably said it more often than is recorded in the Gospels. Why did they need a reminder? They needed it because of their temporary sorrow. They had been, their grief had overcome their faith for a time. That's an important thing for all Christians, and especially on a day like Easter, when there's so many of you who maybe don't come to church that often, that you do need to hear this. This is an important thing. It's either foolishness if it's not true, and so why even bother, or it's the most important thing that has ever happened. And if you think you've heard it once, and that's enough, that's not the case. We all need to be reminded. Even people who go to church every week want and require that reminder to remember that the tomb of Jesus was empty, that he was raised in his body. They returned from the tomb and they turned their backs on Jesus' tomb very different than how they had come. They came fearful and sorrowful, and they turned from that tomb with joy in their hearts and understanding that there was a new thing. They turned from an empty tomb, and that is how Christians can turn from our own tombs as well. We turn our backs on Jesus' tomb because it's empty. The grave has no power over us. We heard over and over again today. And that confidence that we have in the message that God has delivered to us through the scriptures, through our parents, through pastors, through the people who say Christ is risen. He's not here. He's been raised. Gives us the confidence as well and the joy to turn our backs on our own tomb, knowing that our tombs will be empty as well. Amen. Please stand. We'll confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.